This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP Podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast, and it's state playoff edition time. And we've got to get started with Smooth Operators of the Week. Presented by C&G Paving. Really excited to have them on board. They've done a fantastic job of sponsoring this podcast all year, and we're coming to a close quickly on this year, but let's hand them out. Smooth Operators of the Week. Let's start. We got to give it to these guys out of Fluvanna Baseball, playing fantastic right now in the state tournament for the first time, region champs for the first time. Huge step for the program.
Three straight wins, Monday, Tuesday, and then again on Friday. They did a fantastic job across the board. I mean, they were great, on the mound, defensively, and offensively, very patient. But you got to tip your cap to Andrew Ward, a kid coming off of Tommy John surgery from last year. You know, he didn't get to play his freshman year. He's been on a low pitch count for most of the season, and they're really sort of, they can only use him a couple innings here and there, but he comes out. I mean, his first game in this tournament, 3-for-3 with 2 RBIs, and then he threw 3 innings, 2-hitter, struck out 4 batters. That's a great start to his week. And then against Spotswood, he goes 3-for-4 the next game to help launch them to that first state bid ever. So huge week for him, and really sort of looking back on how hard he had to work to get here. And that program, to know that he and his brother, Kevin Ward, are both sophomores. Yeah, the future is bright over at Fluvanna. There's a lot to be excited about for that program for years to come, especially with these guys doing their thing.
And present looks pretty good right now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just an outstanding week of baseball for them. And they did it without having, this wasn't a tournament that was all about the long ball. They were very patient at the plate, drew a lot of walks as a team, just guys running the bases well, and fantastic defense behind all the guys they threw. And they were so good about limiting the innings to each of their starters. Andrew Ward threw 3 innings. I think Kevin threw 5 in the second game. And it was sort of a staff job against Western, 2-2 and 3 across the board. So just really, couldn't have gone better for them, just execution-wise, and gives them a real opportunity going forward.
We're going to dig into Fluvanna a second. The other Smooth Operator of the Week, Paige McLaughlin from Monticello Girls Lacrosse. I mean, the numbers that Paige has put up over the years are just incredible. She recently crossed 400 career points, which is that's nuts. That's a lot of points. That's a lot of scoring. That's a lot of – and in girls lacrosse, you can get face guarded. You can get – people will try and clamp you off. Hasn't really mattered. Paige McLaughlin has been fantastic. She had 5 goals, 3 assists against in their last win, which put them in the state semifinals, big state quarterfinal win, and they get it done against Hidden Valley. They had to fight through lightning delays to make it happen. She had 9 goals against Western to end the regular season, 3 goals against Western in a region semifinal, and then 7 goals and 2 assists when they won the region final. I mean, just a pretty tremendous what she's been able to do and what they've been able to do. They're back in the state tournament for the second straight year.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no surprise that she's been sort of the engine that drives them because really when you look at skill set-wise what she brings to the table, she can handle the physicality. I mean, nobody wants to have her run into her. She's going to run through you.
Strong, tough.
Yeah. So
Paige McLaughlin doesn't mess around.
Between that and then the stick skills that she brings, you put that fearlessness together with a lot of talent, and you're going to get great results like Monticello's gotten from her. And it really allows other players off the wing to really just step up and score because she's such a great passer, too.
Yeah, when they've got Josie Mallory going, they've got Paige going, they've got Callie Smith going, and they did. Those three had almost identical stat lines in the state quarterfinal game. 5 goals, 7 draws apiece. 3 assists, 2 assists, 3 assists. I mean, like, if you've got all three of those players going, they're just really tough to beat. It's like, Boston Celtics, big three. When they had Kevin Garnett, they had Paul Pierce, they had Ray Allen. you know, when you got three players that are playing that well, it just becomes very, very difficult to stop them. And Monticello's Girls Lacrosse has that going. Not to mention a pretty good defense that doesn't give up goals in long stretches. I mean, part of that is that they're winning a lot of draws, but they, generally speaking, don't give up big runs. And I think that's a big, you know, big part of why they're moving forward. State Final Four. So let's jump in. Obviously, congrats to Paige and Andrew, the Smooth Operators of the Week. And then we got to jump into baseball and softball. A huge week, obviously, spring, state, quarterfinals, semifinals, a bunch of different stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But it starts with the baseball quarterfinals. It starts with three baseball teams that we've got left across the area. And I think it's got to start with Fluvanna County. We just talked about them a little bit. You know, an incredible year they've had.
Absolutely. They're going to get to host Northside for, you know, an official senior night, the last possible home game. So great job for them. But, yeah, you look at, I mean, the core of this team is just really young. The experience they're getting right now at you know, for a lot of these sophomores that are starting for them is just unbelievable. But it's the depth of their pitching staff that really, I mean, they need Andrew Ward to be on point. They need Kevin Ward to be on point. Particularly Kevin, I think he can carry the most inning load for them. And because those guys those are power arms. That's huge at this level. But you look at the mix after that, where it's Sean Holyfield, Noah Brown, Toby Sherman, Kyle Algieri's been great for them. So they've got a lot of different guys out of the bullpen that they can use to try and win these next three games. And obviously you have to go with, you know, you're not guaranteed anything. We've seen teams do this before. I mean, the Turner Ashby.
Don't overthink the state quarterfinals.
Yeah, we've seen
that. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Just get to the weekend and then see what happens. But don't overthink the state quarterfinals if you're a high school baseball team.
So you got to go out there and throw the guys that you think can give you the best chance to win. And for Fluvanna, they have the option. They can lean on Kevin Ward if that's what they want to do. But then they can also piecemeal this thing together, and that's huge for them. But offensively, I mean, Cameron Shields, both Ward brothers, you know, Deshaun Carter's been huge for them. He had a big game against Western, nice triple there. Yeah, this team does a lot of the little things right. I like the team speed that they have. I like the power bats between the wards. I just, you know, John Rittenhouse had a huge tournament and doing it with gritty stuff, you know, sacrifice bunts and stuff like that. Some timely hitting and some clutch RBIs against Spotswood. Just a really well-rounded team where there's no weak bat in the lineup. So that's huge for them. And they're going to get a Northside team that's 15-8. That's not all that different from Fluvanna. So we know how tough the JD is because we got two teams through. Four teams almost. No, we got three teams
almost,
through.
It was almost five.
Yeah. But we almost had five teams make it through. Albemarle fell up short and Louisa fell up short. But, man, that five out of the eight? Are you kidding
me? Five out of eight's nuts.
That's
Jeff, we talked about it a few weeks ago on the podcast. We said that, like, there is a chance that teams in the middle of the Jefferson District could see themselves in the state Final Four, in the state tournament, somewhere in there. And here we are. We got Powhatan. We got Fluvanna. We got Western.
Remember, the Louisa one's in extra innings.
Wow. Yeah, and not a bad loss for Albemarle, too. 10-6 or something on the road. I mean, yeah, like, incredibly tough, incredibly deep district, and it played out in the playoffs.
Yeah, and so that's huge for Fluvanna to know that these are all they beat all those teams during the regular season. They were able to, you know, take some games from them. So we're going to see them against Northside, and that's huge for them hosting their first ever state tournament game in baseball.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool for them. And then sliding over, you look at the other half of that game, that Region 3C championship. That's Western now heading to Abingdon, just outside of Bristol. Abingdon comes in at 21-3. So a little bit of a tough spot for Western that playing a team.
Abingdon's been blowing teams out, too.
That's the thing. They've been putting up a lot of double-digit scores and not a lot of other runs. So, Western, the key for them all season has been how can they get the bats going.
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching, Even when Western's pitching is off, it's, you know, you're really only giving up 3-4 runs kind of thing. Obviously, they've got an outstanding senior starter in Derek Domek. He's been a horse for them for all 4 years. You know you're going to see him heavily featured in this game. You know, that's their heaviest arm. So that's what Western's going to throw at them. And then after that, you can slide in maybe a little bit of Garrett Payne, Jack Maslov. I mean, you've got options.
Luke Tenuta. They've got some guys. They've got to figure out Maslov was huge against Turner Ashby.
That was the one. That was the win.
That was the big win they had to have, and they got it done. And Maslov was the guy who did it. So they've got some options. If they can get to the weekend, they got to feel pretty good. But like you said, bats got to get going.
Yeah, and I think really the middle of the order is the key for them. When Chris McGarren's hitting really well, when guys like Tanuda and stuff are really sort of, the seniors have to hit. It'll lead way for the other guys. You know, when Payne's hitting well, that's huge for them. And they've just got to be patient and get on base any way you can. If you have to wear a pitch, go for it. If it means being patient and drawing walks, you know, you're trying to go up to the plate swinging and everything. But sometimes, I mean, it's high school baseball. You're just looking for other teams to make mistakes. And they really, you see that so much in the region tournaments that if you're just patient, something bad will happen to the other team if you give them time. So we'll see if Western can pull off the big upset. Wouldn't be the first time for some of these guys who, I mean, some of these guys took down the Northside basketball team out in Roanoke.
That's right, yeah.
A game that they had no shot of winning, quote-unquote kind of thing. So if they're sort of backed into a corner, just like they were against Turner Ashby just a week ago, if they feel that way against Abingdon and come out and play the way they did last week, they should be in good shape, but it's going to be a real challenge. And then third but not least, Goochland. Three wins.
How about these Bulldogs, man?
And that was a wild one against Maggie Walker. yeah. They were down, and then a 7-run inning put them ahead. That was sort of two teams where the pitching just sort of, all right, who's next? kind of thinking a high-scoring game. Once you get to these championship games, I mean, you're just throwing like middle infielders come in.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's like those weird 19-2 baseball games you see in majors. Where all of a sudden the second baseman's pitching an inning just because you're trying to get to the next day.
Just trying to go.
But yeah, Goochland, great job by them. Three straight wins. And they had a real tough one to start the week with Pocosin. That was a wild game in the rain. Really close. And great performance from Wyatt Murray, the big lefty from them. That's between him and John King. They've got a great core to work around. And then other guys who have been in the state tournament. This is a third straight trip. Cole Knuckles, and then big contributions from Walker Murray against the Maggie Walker game. But yeah, they are going to host Stewart's Draft, comes in at 17-9.
Yeah, I got a chance to see Draft against Madison. Pretty good fundamental baseball team. They do some good things. They play with pretty good energy. Mm-hmm. They're gritty. They're not really going to back down. So they sound a lot like Goochland. But Goochland's just playing really good baseball right now.
I love Goochland's overall core experience. Also, even just watching the Pocosin game, just how unrattled they are. I mean, they play with high energy, but you can tell that they don't panic much. That's a sign of a team that's done this a couple times. And so I think that's going to be huge for them going forward. But really, I mean, a team that hits well, runs well. I mean, two losses. They lost a 3-2 game to Randolph Henry back in early April, and then their first game of the year was lost. I think it was like a 4-3 loss to Flubana.
Yeah, come on.
Back in March. So you're not too worried about that. It's a pretty good team if you're going to fall, especially in different divisions that you're playing in. So, yeah, Goochland, they're going to be all right. Big home game for them, and we'll see if these three teams can keep moving along. I mean, every once in a while we'll get three teams through. This is the first time we've seen this many JD teams get through. We had 2012 Monticello and Powhatan both made it through. Powhatan eventually winning the state title that one. Same year, Monroe got through and they won a state title.
That's right. We had one year where Monroe, Madison, and maybe Goochland all three got through. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great to see. And obviously, all three teams, very different paths to get there. Mm-hmm. But they're all in it. They all got a shot starting on Tuesday. So, when you flip over to softball, we got two teams left. One of them's the usual suspect in Madison County. And then you've got William Monroe they're trying to put up big old numbers and get it done with their offense.
William Monroe started the year at 1-5.
Wow.
And, yeah, I remember they lost to Madison, and talking to Coach Greg Breeden after the game, he said, we think we're one of the best 1-5 teams in the state. And he wasn't saying that, he wasn't being facetious or anything. He knew what he was saying. And yeah, they figured out the pitching. That was the big thing for them. Was getting Haley Lamb and Emma Pickett. Emma Pickett coming off an injury. She wasn't able to pitch last year, and so they've sort of worked her in spots. And those two have really sort of found some consistency, which is what that team was sort of missing a little bit last year. And now they're really rolling. And when you have Alexis Wayland and Jessica Ford and Lacey Beal and Lexi Lamb and just all these bats that just go on and on and on, and this team hits for power.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen Alexis Wayland and Jessica Ford hit, I mean, it's a home run derby up there. They're going large with each cut, chopping wood kind of thing. They just plaster it. I mean, they're all over it. So pretty fun to watch because just not too many softball teams built like that. We see it's normally so centralized around good pitching, and then you know a single leads to a sack bunt, leads to somebody throwing the ball into the outfield, and all of a sudden you're home kind of thing. Really small balling it together. That's not Monroe style. They're getting up there to take cuts, and so that's pretty cool. But yeah, we'll see if they've got a pretty tall task ahead of them. A 23-0 tab team.
On the road?
Yeah, that has a real good pitcher in Hannah Maltos and another good one in Alyssa Lowe. So they've really got their work cut out for them. But this group has never been, they've been so close so many times playing in region semifinals and just coming up short. So for them to get there is huge. But for seniors like Alexis Wayland, it's time to try and pull off a big one. That would be quite the upset and quite the story.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can see that happen.
Yeah. Madison County is in this, you know, a misstep right there at the end, but they were forced to play a doubleheader.
Yeah, strange,
crazy set of circumstances with like a couple of days of a game being delayed. They get jammed and they win the region semi that they had to have, but they have to turn around an hour or two later and play Page, a very tough opponent in the region final. They fall in that one, but you still got to feel like that Madison County, the defending state champs, they got to be one of the favorites going into the state tournament.
Yeah, because they don't almost ever lose. like, that's the one.
Yeah.
So I think they'll respond to that pretty well. Another young group of players that have been here before. Remember, we talked last year a lot about this team won a state title almost prematurely.
A year ahead of the schedule.
Yeah, at least a year, and maybe it was 2 years ahead of schedule, considering how young some of these players are. But yeah, when you have Emily Seal and Logan Estes, two arms that are, I mean, it's just really 1A and 1B. They're both so good. They're both collegiate talent pitchers. They can be inserted either way. You know, you can use them in three innings or four innings and use the other, or you can try and go all seven with them. It's really sort of up to you. So Jesse Yao gets his choice on how to attack the state tournament. But really, Madison's hitting at the top of the order. Meadow Anderson, and then nice bat in Hannah Johnson. Bailey Smith's huge. And then Estes and Seal both hit for a lot of power, a lot of pop out of those bats, too. Madison has all the pieces. They just got to come out and find a way to do this against a King William team that's 17-3. And they've got a really good pitcher in Jenna Evans. She's been winning a lot of 1-0 softball games. So we'll see if Madison can sort of counter that. If you're seeing a team that's struggling to score runs but winning a lot of games, you're hoping your pitcher can sort of, you know, between Estes or Seal, can overpower them, and we might be seeing another 1-0 softball game out of here. It could be pretty good one for Madison if they have everything go their way.
So obviously huge to have baseball and softball teams that are moving on, a ton of squads that are getting a shot at it. But the sport that has the most teams alive, seven local teams playing for the chance at a state championship this year. Right. I mean, that's just absolutely nuts. And we got two at Western boys and girls, two at Almar boys and girls, the Monticello girls, the Charlottesville boys, and the Nelson boys all got in. Just pretty incredible when you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, Monticello, first time ever for them. So that's a huge one. We've seen these other teams, it's become an annual tradition for them in some ways, particularly for Albemarle and Western and Charlottesville boys as of late. So pretty cool to see both the usual suspects back in it, and then we're throwing in some new names. I mean, that just shows you the depth that this area on a soccer level is developing, which is huge because we hear so much about the Northern Virginia teams, and rightfully so. They're that gifted. But Charlottesville's really doing it. The greater Charlottesville area is doing a nice job of getting through into these state tournaments.
And it starts with Almar boys and girls playing on Monday in the state quarterfinals. I think that game's being played Monday because Almar maybe graduates on Tuesday. So that they're one of the only state quarterfinals across the state that's going on Monday. So the Almar boys, they open up with Wakefield at 7:30 on Monday. obviously the Almore boys are playing really good right now. Brandon Mann's playing really good. Daniel Starr is always playing really well. Defensively, they've been pretty much locked down. You got to be impressed with kind of that piece of the puzzle that they've really figured out.
Yeah. I think you add Andrew Weber, Wesley Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck is one that's come on really strong here late in the year. He's been really good.
And then LeCronin net.
Yeah, and Joe Maxwell's been, I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that are playing really well for Almore. They've got a great flow to them right now. They went and they won on the road. They won at home. They threw up 7 goals in a state clincher match in 5A. That's a lot of goals against what you can only assume are good opponents when it comes to that division. And a team like Potomac that pulls from Northern Virginia. I mean, that's a big time performance. Almore is just, I think, is peaked at the right time in a lot of ways. They've just found an incredible groove. And, I mean, you probably looked at that. They're probably going to kind of keep it going.
And I think the cool thing is that a lot of these guys were on this team that won the state title 2 years ago. They were playing as freshmen and sophomores, a couple of them. You know, Weber for sure. Mm-hmm. Starr's another one. But there's a lot of playoff experience in that group. And so I don't think they'll be sort of bothered by playing a lot. You know, you're playing a lot of these teams for the first time. You don't know what to expect. It started getting to that area where maybe you didn't play against them in travel soccer. You don't really know what they're like.
Right.
But Almore sort of got this feel for how to adapt. They've done it so many times before. I think they should be pretty good going forward. And we'll see. I get, you know, solid opponent in front of them. But if you're putting up 7 spots in the region tournament, you got something to say.
And LeCrone's been really good in goal for him. I mean, Thomas LeCrone has stepped up in a big way. I think that's a huge step for them. Just to find the right sort of pieces. I mean, it's not easy when you have done as well as they've done and lost as much talent as they've lost to bounce back every year. And this sort of youth wave combined with some of the older guys who can really play, tremendous look for Almore right now. They're just playing really well. On the girls' side, Almore jumps in to the state quarterfinals with a big matchup at home against Potomac Falls. And, you know, we saw they went to Mountain View, and in a game that was shortened by 29 minutes, they won easily. They put up some goals. And part of the reason is because they made some changes to the lineup. They moved Katie Grebe up into the onto the field, and they've switched it up and made that work and pulled her out of the goal, which is then, you know, put a lot of pressure on the defense, and they've stepped up in a big way. It's given them a lot more of an attack up front, a lot of speed. Fizzy Gonzalez is always going to be there, always going to be tough, but you throw in Grebe and Schnell and Fizzy.
Yeah, Katie Schnell is just...
Katie Schnell can play.
That is an aggressive soccer player. She plays in control, but she's just, I mean, she's a beast, just mm-hmm. running down sidelines, running down the middle, wherever she is. She just runs through tackles. It's pretty impressive to watch the way she sets things up, and just really nice passer. Great with crosses, great with setting up her teammates to finish the job. But yeah, like you said, I mean, the other thing with Madison Kersey, you got a 3-year captain. She's mm-hmm. she's been an anchor on that defense for so long. So really good leadership from the senior group that they've got. McKenna Winterton's another one. She's been playing forever for them.
So. Gracie Williams back in the back, who's a tremendous talent. And then, and to be able to make the move that they've made with pulling Grebe out of the goal, and Jaya Daniel has stepped up, you know, in that. That just shows kind of how much depth this team has and just how potent they can be. That they lose a goalie like Ayanna Tyler Cooper from last year. They moved to Grebe. Now they're moving to another. I mean, just that's quite the line of succession going on there right now. And they're just playing really good, playing really well. So huge for the Almore girls.
Yeah, 3 straight years.
Yeah, and they're back in it, and they get another shot, and it's, you know, it's got to come against a Potomac Falls team that obviously is going to be a challenge, but they get them at home 5:30 on Monday. When you flip over, obviously, Almore has 2 in. The other school that has 2 in, Western Almore, really you know, pretty impressed. We knew the Western girls. We knew that they were kind of had it together. They're just playing really good soccer right now.
Yeah, defending state title in the bag kind of thing. They beat Monticello for a third time in a region championship. They've been cruising. I think those two wins, particularly the last one against Albemarle, that's the perfect timing schedule-wise to sort of launch them into this region tournament. I think that gives them just such a clear head going forward. You got a solid core group of seniors. You look at this team defensively, anchored by Shannon Moore.
Tremendous.
Absolutely outstanding. I mean, it's impossible to get a shot on Western. And when you combine that defense with that experience and then the confidence that they have going in, I think they're the team to beat in the tournament. And we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see so many teams that maybe have all the other pieces but struggle to score. But Western can get goals from, it feels like, anybody at any point, whether it's Abby Zimmerman, who's been tremendous, you know, just a prolific scorer all year, or whether it's Fabiano or it's Katrina Berg or Julia Berg. I mean, it's just been all over the board with kids that can set. Aaron Meyer, like, I mean, they got the critical one from the freshman against Albemarle. They've just had big-time success getting goals from a lot of different people. They play within system. They have players like Zimmerman who can just decide, okay, that's enough. Or they have Savannah Wilson who can just decide, okay, that's enough. And then they go try and score a goal. They go put one in. They get them over the hump. And I think that's huge when you're talking about these games where sometimes it's not going to be flowing. It's not going to fall. Everything's not going to fall your way. And they've got at least a couple of players that can step in and say, like, okay, now's the time. We're going to go get one.
Both Zimmerman and Wilson talked about that. This team has the ability to, just on an individual level, if they have to turn that on, to just say, I'm going to just take it and break it, go all the way down. But, you know, obviously the sum is greater than the parts. That's what you're looking for. You want to see these sort of things connect. And Western, when they do that, they're impossible to beat. They've got both abilities, and that's awesome to have. You know, if you're Jake Desch, it's a great combination. Obviously, you want one instead of the other, but you can still always fall back on that.
The Western boys team is a little bit different case. You know, I mean, there was a time in the middle of this season where it was very unclear where that team was headed, whether they were destined sort of for the dustbin or whether they were going to turn things around and get it together. And, you know, Milo Oakland, the head coach, put that on himself a little bit when we were talking to him after the region final win, that he felt like his decision making wasn't fast enough. But in any event, they have really turned it around. There's a really good chemistry, a really good flow to this Western boys team right now. They have Jed Strickland back healthy, ready to go. And Strickland's he doesn't just stop shots. He doesn't just redirect things. He just erases possessions. He is a tremendous backline defender. And he can get in the mix too. He almost had a header for a goal against Spotswood.
He's the same in soccer as he was in basketball. He's a Swiss Army knife.
Whatever you need him to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive what he's done for a senior year.
Yeah,
across the board, and obviously a defender that has that kind of versatility just opens a different sort of avenue up for you to connect the ball upfield.
Yeah, I mean, he's been tremendous, and they're getting scored. Jack Frey stepped in a goal, a clean sheet in PKs. Never seen that before. I was telling...
Young goalie, too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was telling Milo Oakland, like, it looked like, I mean, I thought the best PK performance I was ever going to see was Al Luna in the state final for them, stopping Blacksburg and coming up with that one that they had to have or two that they had to, you know, I thought that was the best I would see. But then Frey just blew Spotswood off the map, just didn't allow anything. That's crazy in high school soccer. It just doesn't happen very often. So they've got the defense, and they've got guys like Wilson Brown who can create up top. They've got, you know, Noah Adderley. They've had just different guys have come up with something. Luke McGargy has played really well lately. They've gotten good stuff from Knopfsinger. I mean, they've got guys who are really playing well all the way through. And it seems like they bring guys off the bench regularly who come out and give them a charge. Alex Moreno has been tremendous, too. But when they've needed guys to step up, they've stepped up. And that's why Western is still playing right now. So you flip over, and then you've got the Monticello girls team that's a massive improvement that they've made, and they find themselves in the state tournament. And, you know, if they can get a win and Western wins, that we could be seeing a fourth matchup from those two in the state semifinals. But a really nice job that Thomas Warren's done over there at Monticello.
Yeah, it's really been about sort of getting this team to believe that they can play with Western and Albemarle. And while they haven't been able to defeat those teams, the improvement, the progress, you can see each time they meet it up. They're just getting that much better. And it's a really, you know, they've got some seniors like Camille in net, that's huge for them. Camille Blaine, sorry. She's huge for them in net, sort of anchor experience-wise. But then it's really the young players. You go across the board, Ellie Ray, Hannah Anderson, Allie Becker, Cammie Hoke, Kenzie Skeel. There's just a lot of different sort of talents for Monticello. And they're putting the pieces together as the season comes along. This group didn't know what they were going to be at the start of the season. And here they are playing in the state tournament for the first time ever in school history. I mean, it's a pretty cool little run that they put together, and one that they've worked so hard for, sort of really gritting their way through to this point. And this is a team that, with how much they have coming back, they can really build off of this. Some good momentum that will come out of this season and go into the next one.
Yeah, and it's not a program that's been an also-ran. I mean, they've been a challenge for teams.
They've just always been in that middle
tier. Right in that midst. Yeah. And you've had Hannah Keith was a very good defender for them, and now they've got the pieces, and they've got the program, and they've got the players playing with that kind of chemistry. We could be seeing a big few years here for Monticello girls soccer, but huge, huge accomplishment to get in this state tournament and to have a shot maybe to keep moving on. The Charlottesville boys team back after, you know, falling in the state final last year. They're back, a little different look. You know, they lost a lot of the goal scoring that they had from last year, but they're still so good defensively. They found some guys who can put the ball in the net, and they, you know, lost. They get a very tough opponent that moved down into their region, Blacksburg, but they took they made Blacksburg work for it. 1-0, early goal. They didn't have that breakthrough piece, but Blacksburg is so good. And if they can win again, and they step in, playing Loudoun Valley, they got to go on the road. But if they can pick up a win there, they could be looking at coming back to play Blacksburg one more time if Blacksburg can get past Hanley. And the Bruins are just really good. That's a legendary soccer team. Western is, run into them for years. On both the girls and boys side. So this is big for Charlottesville, but they got Campbell Brickhouse. They got Kyle Leonard. They've got, a lot of guys who can really, make things happen for them. And when you kind of flip through, you were worried about where they were going to get the goals from, but you knew defensively they were going to be really good. They returned both keepers and Nate Fisher and Herbert Ryan. I still like how Charlottesville plays. I think that they've got a shot in every game because that defense is so good, and we could see them moving on as well.
Yeah, it's like you said, you wondered what this team would look like without an Evan Blow, without an Osman running the show, or Muhammad. These guys, there were some real good players on that state final
that they've lost over the last couple
and
of years,
then,
no question.
Joe Von Storch comes along.
Von Storch's been really good. Absolutely.
Absolutely huge for them. So, I mean, we're seeing different pieces move up. Younger guys get the opportunity and sort of thrive with it. And Charlottesville, it's always a team that plays with a lot of heart. And we saw them sort of rise above the occasion last year to get to that state final, just the way that they did it. And I feel like this bracket sort of sets up for them that same way. They're going to have to beat some big dogs to do it. But when they get into that underdog mentality, there's something that they seem to channel. We've seen in the last couple of years that they're able to just sort of take their game up to a different level. But, yeah, I mean, very different team in similar position. I think that's pretty cool.
And the last of the seven soccer teams that got in, Nelson County boys, got it done. They beat Martinsville, won down in Martinsville, to get themselves into the tournament, lost to Giles. Now Nelson faces a long road trip down to Virginia High in Bristol.
They got a 5 o'clock game on Tuesday. And it's great to see Nelson County makes these runs every few years in boys soccer, where they kind of put it together, and it's gotta be exciting to see them back in the state quarterfinals.
Yeah. I think it was 2010, 2011.
Yeah, somewhere
that,
in there. Yeah.
That we saw them make a run, 17-2 this year. Really good season for them. They've got Casey Middlefield in the midfield, and then Luis Ortiz center mid for them. Who's been doing, both those guys have been doing a lot for Nelson. I mean, it's, when it comes to the 2A programs, we've seen this with runs from Goochland. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to know what to expect when you get in some of these region tournaments.
Yeah.
You can get into some real 8-0 soccer games quick, and then you'll see out of nowhere some 0-0 shutouts going into overtime. So there can be some mismatches, and Nelson County has been absolutely fantastic. We'll see if they can play to their 17-2 record. It's obviously... It'd be nicer if they were on the other side of the bracket, if they had taken care of business against Giles, but just getting past Martinsville, huge win for that program, and they've got a real opportunity to come through with a big one here.
7 soccer teams, but only 2 lacrosse teams are through, and you know, obviously 2 girls teams, the Monticello girls that we talked about right at the leadoff, and then the Almar girls are in as well. Again, 2 very different paths that both these squads have taken. But you've got to feel really good about just getting to this level and getting a chance to play in this state tournament if you're both these programs.
Yeah, you look at Monticello and Albemarle, they've sort of done it 2 different ways. Monticello coming back for the 2nd time in a row. And then Albemarle, they've been here before with different groups, different players, but a program that's been in the spotlight before. So not uncharted territory for either team, and that's pretty slick.
I mean, the Monticello girls, you know, we talked about it earlier, when they've got Callie Smith, Josie Mallory, and Paige McLaughlin going, like, they're just very, very difficult to beat. They've got a good goalie in Lindsay Gonzalez back there. Their defense is good. Amaya Gibson, who we know from, you know, volleyball, is very, very good. They've got other options back there, you know, kids that can really lock things down. They've also, you know, if, you know, somebody's trying to face guard, you know, Paige, you know, odds are good that Callie Smith or Josie Mallory is going to get going, but they could also see big performances from Megan Whalen. April Carter stepped up. You know, they've got a lot of players who can score, who can make things happen. It's not a, you know, 1 or 2 team, you know, or 1 or 2 player group. They can really kind of make a lot of things happen within the flow of the offense.
Yeah, I think the key there is that it allows them to dig themselves out of some holes. I mean,
yeah.
We've seen it. I mean, even last year to get this far, it was the game that they lost in the state Final Four last year, and then the game that put them in that state Final Four. You know, they're facing really tough odds. They went down to Lynchburg and came back from a really big deficit in that one. So we've seen this group of girls get down by 5-6 goals and then put together 7 or 8, mm-hmm. and real quick. So I like the sort of the momentum turn that this group, this core sort of offensive players that they have, allows them to sort of work with the ebbs and flows of lacrosse, because it's really such a crazy sport, the girls' side especially. They just
runs. Yeah. So, Monticello girls lacrosse, you got to be impressed with this run. 2nd straight year that they've, you know, made it in the state tournament. And they, you know, they jump into it on Tuesday night. They host Salem at 5:30. That's, you know, obviously they got to win that one to keep moving. And if they do, they, you know, maybe get a chance, shot at Riverside, who knocked them out last year. So big, but Salem is coming in. They're really tough. They won 21-0 over Hanover. Just a tough squad. So Monticello girls lacrosse certainly has their work cut out for
them. It's a program that they know. They've played them.
Yeah, they play them a lot.
Many times. They've just had trouble against Salem. So
yeah.
It's a matter of sort of throwing that monkey off your back kind of thing.
And they've been doing that this year. They beat Western.
That's
the
story of the 2nd half of their season.
The confidence level that the Monticello girls lacrosse team is playing with is not – it's just so much higher than it's been in the past. They go out knowing that they're capable of winning, knowing they're capable of executing, and they've been able to do it. And again, not a 1 or 2 or 3 player effort. Like, this is all the way across the board. They've been pretty darn good. So the Albemarle girls, on the other hand, have faced like a different path. You know, they had a lot of really talented players back. They had a coaching change right at the beginning of the year with Brittany McElhaney stepping in. And lucky for them, she had a lot of familiarity with what they were doing, because A, she's a pretty darn good lacrosse coach already, and B, you know, just with her experience of playing in Longwood and all. But then on top of that, Most of these players are field hockey players. So she knew a lot of these kids. She knew a lot of their, you know, skill set. She knew a lot of what they brought to the table. And they've really kind of found a groove. And they've really been picking up a lot of steam and playing really well right now. They, you know, won the region final in order to get a bye. And then now they host Freedom South Riding in the state semifinals at home Wednesday at 6. This is a really impressive run that they've been able to put together, considering a little bit of that turmoil right at the beginning of the year. They weathered that pretty well, and now they find themselves just, you know, one win away from getting in the state final.
Yeah, and they'll have to lean really hard on Kelsey Myers and Morgan Rose scoring-wise. Tough. I mean, they've got an injury they're dealing with, pretty big one to Jim
Wendelken, yeah.
So that's a tough one for them, but you mentioned the familiarity with that team. I mean, field hockey, there's injuries too, and McElhaney knows how her players respond to certain things, sort of next man up kind of thing. Having that experience is huge with this group. If you've coached them basically in another sport already, mm-hmm. I think that they've got a real sort of advantage there, and you just know how to sort of work with this team chemistry-wise and what makes them tick.
And if I'm going to have to lean on some people, Kelsey Myers, Morgan Rose, Anna Murray, I mean, yeah. These are all players who are gamers. They show up. They play hard. Caroline Shepherd's back there in the cage. She's pretty darn good, too. Abby Meestrel's back there on defense. They've got a lot of really good, well-rounded athletes who can make a lot of different plays all over the field. And that's just, I mean, that's as good as it gets. And I think that they get it done in the aggregate. It's, in, you know, there's not one automatic player or one, you know, although Morgan Rose is pretty darn close to it. She's just so crafty around the cage. But they get it done in the aggregate. They get it done with a lot of different people stepping up, and they're just, that's just a darn good lacrosse team.
Right? Yeah, and you mentioned Shepherd, and this is the time of year where when you have a goalie like that, it can really sort of upend a tournament. You can have somebody that just comes up with timely saves. It makes a huge difference. I mean, it's one of those sports where a really good day for a really good goalie can spell trouble for another team.
There's no question about it. And that brings us to sort of our last sport that's out there still. Now that track is wrapped up with the state championships over this weekend, and that's tennis. And we got two tennis teams left in Western Alamar Boys Tennis and Western Alamar Girls Tennis. And let's start with the Western Girls. I played a really gritty, tough effort against Abington to get it done. Got really big performances from Corinne Jennings and Sarah Inman. They both stepped up, won really tough matches indoors, in the heat, in the humidity at Boar's Head. That's never easy to do. And, you know, they know what they've got in Hannah Kearns up top. They've got, you know, some other, you know, really experienced players. They've got gamers and tough, you know, tough sort of gritty players like an Anna O'Shea. But the Western girls, you know, did a nice job of mixing up their doubles a few weeks ago. That seems to have made a really big difference for them, gave them a great chance. They closed it out 6-4, 6-4 against the defending state champs in Abington. I mean, you got to be thrilled to see Western girls tennis, who's won a state title before, get another shot. They host Cave Spring in the state semifinals on Tuesday at 3, and they'll follow a boys team that is, I don't know, I guess the best term is a buzzsaw.
Yeah, just running teams.
We're at buzzsaw level with this Western boys tennis team. You know, I was trying to kind of piece through it, and maybe you've got another thought, but as dominant a team, any sport across the board that I've seen in a while.
I mean, it's not because they're winning their matches so easily, like, you know, as a team. It's on the individual level, on the court, they're crushing them.
They're not giving up points.
Yeah.
They're not giving up anything. Like, they're just rolling.
The team score's not close.
No.
The ladder scores aren't close.
It's 6-0, 6-0, all five matches that they won on Saturday against a pretty darn good Cave Spring team were 6-0, 6-0. I mean, this is just a ridiculously talented, ridiculously loaded Western boys tennis team. And that's a program where we're used to seeing really loaded, really good tennis. They won a bunch of state championships right there in a stretch of 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. They're always in this mix. It seems like they had, you know, sort of a little bit of a down year, but they're the defending state champs. They brought essentially everybody but Ben Maselli back. The latter is just pretty unbelievable, and they added Gavin Seagraves into the top of that.
Yeah.
So you got you got Daniel Thomas playing number three, and he was I don't think he won the singles championship last year, but he was in the state semifinals in singles. He won the doubles championship with Alex Hicks last year.
And he's your third guy.
And he's number three. Yeah. I mean, like, guys are just
Alex
getting...
Alex Hicks at number two.
Alex Hicks is not only a tremendous defensive tennis player, but he's expanded his game and become a much tougher player, which is pretty natural when you're just growing up, because he was thrown in the lineup right away as a freshman. And Hicks is just coming along really nicely. He is going to be extremely tough going forward. Seagraves is unbelievable. The Navy commit, I mean, they are just, it is a buzzsaw. Bottom line, buzzsaw. And that's what they're, you know, that's what they're bringing to the table. Hidden Valley may present one of their toughest challenges, to be honest, in the state semifinal. But you know, that's coming down to like whether the match is going to take 45 minutes or an hour and 15.
Which, I mean, in tennis is kind of strange because sometimes they're 7 hours long.
Yes.
So you know,
as the Western girls can almost attest to the other night, I think they went 2:30 to 7, and that one ended early. Like if it had stretched out, it could have been even longer.
Just need a couple more lightning delays and be fine.
I mean, tennis matches, if you haven't had a chance to see one, they can be extremely long. The Monticello girls team, I think, clocked in somewhere around 5.5 during one of their matches a little earlier this year. I mean, it's just pretty wild. To see a team that is so efficient, just a machine, and the Western boys tennis team, that's who they are right now.
Yeah, when you can't tell what the difference between 4, 5, and 6 from 1, 2, and 3, you're in pretty good shape.
Jack Tribble, Nicholas Haxbeal, Simon Rader. Those guys would be, you know, the top three for any other, you know, and most any other team, maybe except an Almar, who got to give it a bit. Both Almar teams made it into the state quarterfinals as well, but got knocked out on Friday. One against Thomas Jefferson, another one, you know, with the girls. And then on the boys' side, they got knocked out by Rockridge in a really, really tight match. So very impressive seasons for Almar. David Sun over there at Almar. Boys tennis, tremendous number one that they've got. And they played really well. But Western boys tennis is unbelievable. As dominant a team as we've seen. You know, I think that maybe you put like the Western girls swim team from a few years ago in that mix, or the Almar girls swim team, that you could mathematically calculate that they were going to win a state title before the meet.
I mean, sabermetrics.
I mean, like, those are that's the kind of dominance that this boys tennis team is in the mix. Like when you're talking about a technically individual sport that has a team score, those are the teams that you can kind of compare them to, a swim or a track. And this is as dominant a run as we've seen, and it's right up there in that mix with the Almar swim or Western swim, or you know.
But even within their own program history, the other state titles you look at, I mean, if they do it this way, if they continue this track, and it's a bunch of 6-0s string together, even a bunch of 6-1s, it wasn't that way for all their state titles. They had to scratch and claw for a couple of those.
No question about it. A lot of tough opponents over the years, but they just look too tough. They are the tough opponent this year. Ton of teams in the mix. Very busy week ahead. We'll have a ton of coverage up online. Thanks for sticking with us with this extended version of the Scrimmage Play Podcast. And we'll be back with you at some point, probably to recap all this incredible action.